Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If I were to ask you at the outset of the sermon this morning, would you take a moment or two and think back on your life? And if I were to ask you, what was the scariest moment? When were you the most frightened? When were you the most troubled? And if you think back to that time and moment, then you might be able to understand a little bit better where these disciples of Jesus were at. They were very fearful. They were highly anxious. They were troubled indeed. Things certainly weren't going the way that they thought they should have been going. You know, even Thomas tried to prevent Jesus from going to Jerusalem because he had heard that the Jewish authorities were out to get him. But over and over again, Jesus says, "It's the will of my Father. I have to do the will of my Father. The will of my Father is that I should go to Jerusalem to suffer there and to die." And he said, repeatedly, to be raised again on the third day. Though not wanting to hear the first part of what Jesus said, they probably weren't able to hear the second part either. I'm hoping to talk to you a little bit this morning about what we sang about just a few moments ago, the hope of heaven that Christians have, that God wants to strengthen within us. It's all dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Saint Peter said at the beginning of that letter that we read this morning that God has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, it's one thing to say the words, isn't it? It's another to genuinely believe those words. I am but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. I guess some of the questions that pastors are asked the most often are questions about heaven. And one of the questions I know people have asked me over the years is, will I be able to recognize those who were close family members, friends, relatives and the like, who have faithfully departed this life ahead of me and are now in heaven? You know, there's no doubt on their part that when we die, we will go to heaven. They're in complete agreement with what the Apostle Paul says in his great letter of comfort, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, when he said, for us, he's talking, listen to what Paul says, to be away from these bodies is to be at home with the Lord. And the answer to the question, will we recognize those others? Will they recognize us when we come into that glad and glorious wedding feast? The Bible answers the question with an unqualified yes. Not only will we know those whom we've known in this life, but we'll have perfect knowledge, the Bible makes plain, not only of God, but also of each other. We'll know those people who lived 1,000 years before us. It could be, according to God's plan, that we'll know those people who lived 1,000 years after us. People whom we've never met. St. Paul says, that's the glorious thing about heaven. There are no unanswered questions. For now we see as in a mirror dimly, but one day we're going to see God face to face. Now we only have partial knowledge, but then we'll understand everything fully, even as we have been fully known. You know, the place to begin the discussion really about will I recognize and will other people recognize me in that realm beyond this one is the greatest part of this hope is that that's there where we will see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his magnificent beauty and glory in his glorified body indeed, who is the light of heaven, who sits upon the throne as the Lamb, who promises us that the former things have passed away. No more sinning, no more hurt feelings, no more looking to another person for an apology and can't figure out why in the world you haven't received it yet. No illness, no disease, no divorce. Celestial bliss and supernal joy is what we'll have there. And the best part of heaven is that the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, risen from the dead, ascended to the Father's right hand, who will come again at the promised hour to judge the living and the dead, we will see him. Some of you may have heard of a man named Dwight Moody. He was a great American evangelist and preacher, one of the greatest preachers people believed in the 19th century. He was born in Massachusetts, but later moved to Chicago. And he grew up as a Christian, very committed in his faith. He even eventually founded a church that years later is still very much in existence. It's called the Moody Church because it was not named by him, but named after him after he had died. He founded a Christian college, the Moody Bible Institute, also in Chicago. Well, he wrote a sermon on the words of this gospel lesson this morning, and I read it. And even though it wasn't Mother's Day back in those days, because Mother's Day was still 11 years away, not to be suggested by Ann Jarvis until 1908. He tells the true story, he said, of a mother in his parish who became very sick and ill. She had one child, a three-year-old daughter. Yes, the dad was in the picture, but he had to work all the time. The sweet, dear neighbor lady down the road, she thought she'd take this little three-year-old girl in her home and care for it as her very own child, hopefully until the mother regained her health and strength and vitality again. But as it turned out, the mother only grew sicker, more ill, and she died. And the family was faced with a question that a lot of families are faced with when they have very small children and somebody in the family dies. Should we try to explain death to a three-year-old? Should we take the three-year-old to the funeral? And in this case, they decided not to do so. Nobody ever got around to telling this little girl what had actually happened to her mother. But some weeks after this, the caretaker took the little three-year-old girl to the house where she had been raised, where her mother, her first instinct, you know, is to go, Dwight Moody says back in those days, what was called the sitting room. Mom! Mom, where are you? Mom! Wasn't in the sitting room, so then Dwight Moody said she went to what was in those days called the parlor, and Mom wasn't there. And she asked the caretaker, where's my mama? And the caretaker simply said, she's gone. And then the little girl immediately wanted to leave that place, go back home with the caretaker to her home, because if her mother was not there, it wasn't worth being there at all. And can we make the analogy to our true home in heaven? The best part of heaven is that Jesus will be there, that we'll experience his presence, that will be right there next to him. We will be with Jesus. And yes, the Bible does tell us that we'll recognize those who are there. Three different times at the end of the book of Genesis, when the patriarchs die, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Genesis 25, Genesis 35, Genesis 49, you know what it tells us? That after they died, they were buried. And then the Bible says they were gathered unto their people. They were brought into that celestial realm beyond this one. The same thing is said of Aaron in Numbers chapter 20, that after he died, he was gathered unto his people. Yes, there'll be this glad reunion that will take place. And aren't you glad, you know, that when Jesus talked about life and the kingdom of God here on earth, he didn't compare it to a drab and dreary funeral. He always compared it to a rather celebratory and joyful wedding feast. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And then we will be like him. That's what St. John says. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This means that not only will we be like Jesus, and that we too, Paul says, Philippians 3:21, that we'll have those glorified bodies, but we'll be like him spiritually too. As a result, all of the sin, the ignorance, the anger, the hate, the weariness, the perversity that too often mark our lives and our relationships with one another here will now at long last be eliminated, will truly, 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 truly have a fresh understanding of our relationships with one another. Yes, we confess our sins. We ask each other for forgiveness. We do, in the power of the Holy Spirit, our best to forgive. But there's still that tinge of memory every so often. But not in heaven. Behold, I'll make everything new. You know, let not your hearts be troubled. Whatever it is that you're going through in a difficult time, just know full well that there are times in each of our lives when our hearts are troubled, and not a single one of us is ever totally immune from that kind of experience as we make our way through life. You know, left to ourselves, Jesus stresses this in the Sermon on the Mount, left to ourselves, we worry ourselves silly. Left to ourselves, the devil does his best to convince us that nobody has ever gone through this horrible thing that you're going through now. You know, left to ourselves, our troubled hearts begin to quiver and shake. Left to ourselves, the level of our anxiety only intensifies. But here comes the living Christ through his life-giving word and says, whatever it is you're going through, it's only temporary. Because even if you close your eyes in death before I come again, I promise you I'm going to come. And I'm going to take you personally with me to that place that I am preparing. And where was Jesus going when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you? You know, the whole time I was growing up, I had a tendency to think immediately of the Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter, when Jesus ascended to heaven. But this was before his crucifixion. There was another place that he had to go. Jesus had to go to the cross, which he did willingly. So we dare not skip over that part of the promise too quickly and forget all about his holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death. The prophet Jeremiah was a prophet who suffered greatly in his ministry. He's known as the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. And one time, the people in the community were so sick of Jeremiah's talking about a judgment soon to come upon the people that they took Jeremiah and they put him in the stocks. If you know what stocks are, didn't we learn it in elementary school? That form of punishment in the community where you'd be publicly ridiculed, this thing off the ground, and there'd be holes for your legs and the holes for your arms. And he probably may have had that in mind when he said in Lamentations 1:12, he said, Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. And you know, those words were ultimately filled, Jesus said, fulfilled in his life. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. He told the disciples on the road to Emmaus. As we look at the cross and we see Jesus, is it nothing to you, all of you who pass by? Look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted upon me on the day of his anger, that we might be fully forgiven, restored, and heirs of the promise. I was driving to the hospital a couple of times this past week and had the car radio on. I heard a couple of people say, why don't you guys do your mom a real, give her the best Mother's Day possible. Why don't you go to church with your mother this weekend? I guess that'd be nice. But you remember Emeril Lagasse on Emeril Live, the cooking show, who when he was preparing those fabulous gourmet meals, he'd say, kick it up a notch. Sometimes when he'd throw in extra seasoning, he'd go, bam, you know? And I would say to all, why don't you kick it up a notch? Don't go to church simply to please your mother, but go there like the rest of us to confess your sins, to receive his full and free forgiveness, and to trust in him and do your best to follow his commandments day by day. seems to have waned over the years. Mother's Day used to be the day that the church would be major full. The children used to always come with their mother on Mother's Day. I wonder, where are they now? I wonder, where are they now? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.